Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And while at my website, be sure to click on the radio page to check out our past shows and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you have a traditional IRA, you've probably spent a good amount of time thinking about how to build it up. Contributions, investment choices, compound growth over time. But there's another side to that conversation that doesn't always get as much attention. And that's how and when you actually take the money out. Because it turns out that the decisions you make about withdrawals can matter just as much as the decisions you make while you were saving. The timing, the amounts, the sequence, all of it has the potential to affect your tax bill, your Medicare premiums, your Social Security benefits, and ultimately how far your savings go. Today, we're going to walk through seven things everyone with a traditional IRA should understand about withdrawals. I'm joined by my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who helps keep these conversations practical and grounded.
Well, good morning, Stephen. It's great to do this show. And I feel like just before we clicked record here today, you know, we were talking about kind of how all these different subjects that we've done and these different shows that we've done kind of all fit together. You know, we've done Roth conversions. We've kind of talked about Trump accounts. Now we're talking about IRAs in general. So I love that this topic just fits right in there and it's kind of the overarching umbrella here. And this topic is truly where the details really do matter. You know, so I'm really glad that we're spending time on it today. A lot of people understand the basics of how an IRA works on the savings side. But the rules around withdrawals are where things can get a little more nuanced.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to try to make those nuances as clear as possible. And the sources we're drawing from today is a U.S. News article titled Seven Things to Know About Withdrawing Money from a Traditional IRA. Let's go through them one at a time. And the first thing to understand is that withdrawing too early comes with a cost. The government imposes a 10% tax penalty on money withdrawn from a traditional IRA before age 59 and a half. And that penalty is on top of the ordinary income taxes you already owe on the withdrawal.
So what you're saying is it's not just 10%. It's 10% plus your tax rate.
That's right. The article does give a useful illustration. For someone in the 12% tax bracket, taking an early withdrawal could mean losing close to a quarter of the amount between the penalty and the taxes owed. That's a significant hit on money that was supposed to be growing for retirement. Now, that 10% penalty exists for a reason. It's designed to discourage people from tapping into their retirement savings before retirement. And as a general principle, it's sound. But there are exceptions, and we'll come back to those later in the show.
Well, Stephen, is there a rule of thumb for when an early withdrawal might actually make sense despite the cost?
It's a question worth asking because there are situations where the math could work out, like a genuine financial emergency or, for example, where the alternative is high interest debt. But I'd encourage anyone in that situation to look at all the options first. A 10% penalty on top of income taxes is a steep price. And once that money is out of the account, you lose the compounding that would have happened on it for the rest of your retirement. That's a cost that doesn't show up on the withdrawal slip, but is very real over time.
Well, Stephen, what's the flip side of that? I mean, what happens if someone possibly waits too long?
Well, that's the second thing. and it's one I think catches people off guard. While taking withdrawals too early is costly, waiting too long has its own drawbacks. Everything that comes out of a traditional IRA is 100% taxable as ordinary income. So ideally, you want to time your withdrawals for lower income years when you're in a lower tax bracket. For a lot of people, the early years of retirement represent exactly that window. Income may have dropped, you're not yet drawing Social Security, and there's an opportunity to take withdrawals or distributions at a lower tax rate than you might face later.
Is it also when Roth conversions tend to make sense for some people?
It can be. A Roth conversion means taking money out of your traditional IRA, paying taxes on it now, and then moving it into a Roth IRA where it can grow tax-free, and future qualified withdrawals may come out tax-free as well. The article specifically cites age 55 to 65 as a sweet spot for that kind of conversion. The reasoning is that by that point, children may be grown and out of the house. There may be additional flexibility in the budget to cover the taxes on the converted amount. And you're still far enough from required minimum distributions that you have time to let the Roth account grow. It's also worth noting that withdrawing from a traditional IRA before age 70 can be a way to delay claiming Social Security. For every year you wait past your full retirement age, up to age 70, your benefit may increase by approximately 8% a year. So using IRA funds as a bridge while you delay Social Security is a strategy worth understanding.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, before we go further, let's take a quick pause and let our listeners know how they can reach out with questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And remember, scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes. We're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Now, let's keep going with today's conversation. What's the third thing that people need to know?
Required minimum distributions, or RMDs. Once you turn 73, the IRS requires you to begin taking annual withdrawals from your traditional IRA, whether you want to or not. The reason is straightforward. The money in a traditional IRA has never been taxed, and the government doesn't allow that to continue indefinitely. Missing an RMD carries a significant penalty. Under current rules, failing to take the required amount can result in a tax penalty equal to 25% of the distribution you were supposed to take. That's not a small number.
Well, and does the RMD amount change depending on how much you have in the account?
It does. The RMD is calculated each year based on your account balance and a life expectancy factor from the IRS tables. The more money in the account, the larger the required withdrawal. That's one reason why making strategic withdrawals or conversions in the years before age 73 can be valuable. The more you've reduced the balance before RMDs begin, the smaller those required withdrawals tend to be, and the lower the associated tax hit. The article also makes an important note here. Money converted to a Roth account doesn't count as an RMD. So if you're converting in advance of age 73, that's reducing your future RMD exposure, not satisfying it.
So Stephen, someone who retires at age 65 and has 8 years before RMDs kick in could use that window strategically.
Yeah, that's right. If income drops significantly in those early retirement years, that gap could be an opportunity to convert portions of the traditional IRA to a Roth at a lower tax rate than you might have faced during your working years. It takes some planning to do it well because you don't want to convert so much in a single year that you push yourself into a higher tax bracket or trigger higher Medicare premiums. But the window is real, and for the right person in the right situation, it could be meaningful.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be. It's all about timing, though. And what's the fourth point?
This one is particularly useful for people who are charitably inclined. If you're at least 70 and a half years old, you have the option to make what's called a qualified charitable distribution, or QCD. And that's when you direct money from an IRA straight to a qualified charity, up to $100,000 per year. The money goes directly from the IRA to charity, thus bypassing you entirely. And here's the valuable part. A QCD can satisfy your RMD requirement for the year. And because the money goes directly to charity and not to you, it may not count as taxable income. That could reduce your adjusted gross income in a meaningful way.
So instead of taking the RMDs, paying taxes on it, and then donating the remainder, you skip the taxable step entirely, Stephen. And I also, who came up with these ages? 59 and a half and 70 and a half? What?
Yeah, right. That's the idea. It's a cleaner and potentially more tax efficient way to give for those who are already planning to donate. It's not right for everyone, but for people who are charitably motivated and facing RMDs, it's a tool worth knowing about.
Yes. Well, let's move on and talk about Medicare here. So is that the fifth point?
It is. And this is the one that surprises a lot of people. IRA withdrawals count as income. And if your income crosses certain thresholds, your Medicare Part B premiums go up. This is called IRMA, which stands for Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amount. In 2026, the standard Part B premium is $202.90 per month. But if your modified adjusted gross income exceeds $109,000 as an individual, or $218,000 as a married couple filing jointly, you'll pay more. The article notes that monthly premiums can range from $284.10 up to $689.90, depending on income level. That's a wide spread, and a large IRA withdrawal in a given year could push someone into a higher IRMA tier.
And Stephen, there's a timing wrinkle there too, right?
There is. Medicare looks back 2 years when setting premium levels. That means your 2024 income determines whether you pay a higher premium in 2026. A larger than usual IRA withdrawal in 1 year can have a ripple effect on Medicare costs 2 years down the road. That's a connection worth understanding when you're thinking about withdrawing and withdrawal timing.
Well, Stephen, a single large withdrawal in 1 year could have consequences that stretch out 2 or 3 years down the road.
That's right. And that's exactly why looking at withdrawals in isolation, just asking, what do I need to do this year, can lead to decisions that cost more than they needed to. The more useful frame is to look at projected income across several years at once and ask where the low-cost windows are. That kind of multi-year income planning is one of the things a financial advisor can be genuinely useful for, because the interactions between IRA withdrawals, Social Security, and Medicare premiums are hard to model without laying it all together.
Well, what about the sixth point, which is, I think, Social Security, right?
This one is also easy to underestimate. The Social Security Administration uses a figure called combined income to determine how much of your benefit is subject to income tax. Combined income is calculated by adding your adjusted gross income, any non-taxable income, and half of your Social Security benefits. The article frames it simply. Every $100 you take from your IRA is treated like $100 of earned income. That means a large IRA withdrawal can push your combined income above the thresholds that trigger Social Security taxation.
Well, walk us through those thresholds, Stephen.
Well, for a single filer, once combined income exceeds $25,000, up to 50% of your Social Security benefits could be subject to income tax. Above $34,000, now it's up to 85% of your benefits could be taxable. And for married couples filing jointly, those thresholds are $32,000 and $44,000 respectively. These numbers have not been updated for inflation in a long time, which means they capture more people than they once did. This is another reason why thinking strategically about the size and timing of IRA withdrawals can matter beyond just the immediate tax bill.
Well, before the final point, Stephen, let's remind listeners one more time how to connect with you.
Of course, anything we've talked about today has raised questions about your own IRA strategy. Call us at 626-650-9486 or visit us at veritywealthgroup.com to schedule a complimentary consultation. We're always happy to take a closer look at your specific situation.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And on to the seventh point here. This is the one about early withdrawal exceptions. So kind of a positive note.
Bingo. And this is worth knowing even if you're not planning to use it, because life doesn't always go according to plan. While the government imposes a 10% penalty on early IRA withdrawals, there are specific circumstances where that penalty does not apply. The article lists several. A first-time home purchase is one of the more commonly used exceptions. Up to $10,000 can be withdrawn penalty-free for a qualified first-time home purchase. Other exceptions include a permanent disability that leaves you unable to work, a terminal illness diagnosis, unreimbursed medical expenses above a certain threshold, higher education expenses, health insurance premiums paid during a period of unemployment, and qualified birth or adoption expenses up to $5,000.
Well, but income taxes still apply even with the exceptions, right, Stephen?
That's an important distinction. The exceptions eliminate the 10% penalty, but they don't eliminate income taxes on the withdrawal. You still owe ordinary income tax on the amount you take out. The penalty is waived, but the tax is not. There's also one more option worth mentioning, which is the IRS Rule 72T. This allows you to take what are called substantially equal periodic payments from your IRA before age 59 and a half without triggering the early withdrawal penalty. The payments are calculated based on your life expectancy and must follow specific IRS-approved methods. The key caveat is that once you start a 72T distribution schedule, you generally cannot change it until age 59 and a half or until 5 years have passed, whichever comes later. Modifying the schedule after it begins can result in retroactive penalties being applied. The article's guidance is clear. If you're considering this route, do it with the help of a financial professional.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here, Stephen. What's your overall takeaway from today's conversation that you want to leave with our listeners?
I think the big picture is this. The traditional IRA is one of the most powerful savings tools available, but the rules around withdrawals are more layered than most people realize. When you take distributions, how much you take, and what else is going on in your financial picture at the time, all those things interact in ways that either cost you or benefit you. The decisions don't have to be overwhelming, but they do benefit from planning. Understanding penalty thresholds, the RMD rules, the charitable distribution option, and the ripple effects on Medicare and Social Security are really the starting points. Building a strategy around them is the next step.
Well, and I think that what today's conversation has made clear is that the answer to this question isn't just about investments, returns, or, you know, the account balances. It's about income management, Stephen.
I think that's right. A traditional IRA isn't a set it and forget it account when it comes to withdrawals. The government has built a specific set of rules around when money comes out, how much has to come out, and what happens if you don't follow those rules. Understanding them isn't optional. It's part of managing your retirement income well. And here's what I want every listener to take away from today is the strategies we talked about work best when they're planned in advance. The Roth conversion window, the pre-RMD drawdown schedule, and delaying Social Security while using IRA's funds as a bridge. The QCD for people with RMDs who are charitably inclined, None of those are last minute moves. They require a view of your income across multiple years, ideally before you're in the middle of a decision with a deadline attached to it.
Well, so Stephen, the time to think through your IRA withdrawal strategy is before you need to make a withdrawal, not after.
That is the message, and it doesn't require having everything figured out perfectly. It just requires having the conversation. Sit down with a financial advisor who can look at your full picture, including your accounts, your expected income sources, your Social Security timing, and your Medicare situation. That's a conversation we're glad to have. If anything from today's show raises a question about your own IRA or your broader retirement income plan, give us a call at 626-650-9486. Or again, visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. We can take a look at where things stand and talk through what options may be available to you.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. Whether you're years away from retirement or already in it, understanding how your IRA works on the withdrawal side is one of the most valuable things that you can do for your financial future.
We'll see you next time on the Verity Wealth Report. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Tink at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Gradient Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Gradient Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Gradient Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Gradient Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. This program is produced by Luson Media. Stephen Ting compensates Luson Media for production services. Today's co-host is a salary employee of Luson Media, is not a registered investment advisor, and does not provide investment, tax, or legal advice. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should not be considered personalized investment, tax, legal, or financial advice. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Insurance products are offered through Stephen Ting as a licensed insurance agent and are separate from advisory services offered through Gradient Advisors, LLC. Before making any financial decisions, consult with qualified financial, tax, and legal professionals regarding your individual circumstances.